So to start out the show, I want to go back in time a little bit with you, Pam, and remember back in the day when we...
Story time, I like it.
When we had... Our kids were little, and we had the adopted grandparents that a couple of weekends a year, they would take them.
Yeah, the they just weekend. Call and say, hey, right. can we have them? Yes.
And which was fantastic.
Yes.
Because that would give us two nights that was just our time, days. We could do what we wanted, which was like, well, that's kind of a nice break.
It was amazing.
And today's episode, we're going to be doing date night. And so this is an expanded of it, in a sense, this conversation and this memory lane journey. But one of the times we had dropped them off, we had stopped to pick up something after dropping them off, and you asked me a question as we were leaving. I think it was the grocery store. You know where I'm going with this.
I do.
You looked at me and said, well, sex or food?
Yeah. And you said...
Food.
Yeah. And I was...
And you were shocked.
Dumbfounded. I was dumbfounded.
It had been a long day, to be fair. But this kind of sets the stage for when we're talking about married life date night. There's a lot of different characteristics that make it up. And sometimes things that we really maybe look for and forward to get pushed aside because of circumstances. And so we're going to propose a different tip, if you will, on another way to look at date night when it comes to married life today. Well, this is Sexy Marriage Radio, where we love hearing from you. We love you being a part of the show. Let us know what's on your mind. Ask your questions. 214-702-9565 is our voicemail line, or feedback at sexymarriageradio.com. If you're new to the show, you can check out our starter packs. And these are collections of episodes based on topic and popularity. And they give you an idea of everything we got going on here at the show. And what we love is just framing conversations, because we really do believe in a lot of ways marriage is simple, but the simplest things are sometimes incredibly difficult.
Yes, they are.
But how we look at things makes a difference, and that's where we land each and every week. And so we are so glad that you take some time out and spend it with us each week. And so here's where we're heading today on the regular version. We're doing some conversations about date night, specifically one tip I've come across that's worth sharing, that maybe changes up the schedule and how you guys go about your date nights, because date nights are important in marriage.
And yeah, agreed.
We want to be advocates of that to help keep the important important.
Yeah, keep some spice.
Now, the extended content today, which is deeper, longer, and there's no ads, you can subscribe at smr.fm/academy. We're going to look at the world of self-help and bring in some of the work of Carl Jung, who is a seminal theorist in the world of mental health and a student of Freud. I mean, so we're going way back in the work that he's done, but there's an important aspect.
So that part's not sucking me in yet.
Well, there's an important aspect, because if you think of the world of self-help in today's day and age, a lot of times the focus is on the future, right? We got to improve. We got to get better. We got to improve. We got to get better.
Yeah.
But there's a valuable, important aspect of, I got to heal also. And Carl Jung's work rests a lot in the idea of our shadow and the stuff that we need to heal from. And so we're going to talk about how do we blend both of those.
Perfect.
So all that's coming up right after this. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. So there's all kinds of seasons in life. We've been through them. We continue to go through them. And it's always, in my mind, important to recognize the need for help at various seasons. Because sometimes we're in the dumps and it's really critical. And sometimes we're just a little lost. And this is where therapy can come into play. Because you and I would not be who we are nor what we are together without the help of therapy in our married life of 30 years so far.
Yeah, that is true.
And so it's so easy to ignore all the different things that can creep in and cause problems. And this is where therapy can come in to really help, because it helps us learn positive coping skills, or it can help us learn how to set boundaries. That's been an important aspect in our life, particularly as it comes to extended family circumstances that happen between us and even our kids. So therapy is a tremendous way to help create a better version of ourselves. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and it can be suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So you can find your sweet spot and heal with whatever it is that's going on in your world with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/SMR today, and you get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/SMR. And yes, again, this is one therapist recommending other therapists because we all can benefit from having people in our corner. So try BetterHelp. So this is an email that came in to help set the stage for our conversation about date night.
Okay.
So it says, "Dear Corey and Pam, we're avid listeners of your show and we find great value in all the insights you share. As a married couple with three young children, we love the moments that we steal away for date nights. However, we find ourselves grappling with a recurring challenge. How do we make these evenings truly connected, relaxed, and enjoyable while balancing the demands of making it happen? Despite our best intentions, date nights often end with us feeling more exhausted than rejuvenated. It's all too easy to succumb to the temptation of overindulging in delicious food." That's speaking Pam's language for sure.
It is.
"And by the time we get home, one or both of us only wants to collapse into bed. We long for a deeper connection and intimacy, but struggle to find the right balance between unwinding and engaging in meaningful conversations. It feels like we're stuck in a cycle feeling rushed, which winds up with us feeling too tired to engage in activities that truly nourish our relationship, like sex. How can we break free from this pattern and cultivate more relaxed and fulfilling date nights? You guys are the best." Signed, Two Foodies.
Two Foodies. That's awesome.
All right. So first off, there's an element of the importance of date night. And when, depending on where you are in the context of family, sometimes it's quite involved to make date nights happen on any regular occasion.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't live close to, like we had the grandparents that will take the kids or babysitter you rely on.
Right.
Lots of people new to the area and have no one they trust.
Right.
It makes it challenging.
And so part of the aspect is recognizing who's responsible in playing that role to set it up and make it happen. Mm-hmm. And yes, you can be collaborative in some ways, but typically it falls on one person's shoulders to make it happen.
Yeah.
And part of that is just owning that, being willing to do it because of the payoff of the time you get to spend together.
Yeah.
So there is an element, though, that one of the things I've come across regularly is some variations of one of the ones I just saw was the 2-2-2 date rule, which is just the concept of committed couples need to try to go on dates once every 2 weeks. So it's like twice a month.
Okay.
Spend a weekend away once every 2 months if you can.
Wow, that seems like a lot.
And then take week-long vacations every 2 years. Just the two of you. So there's just an element of how are you setting aside the marriage?
Okay.
And all that entails. Mm-hmm. Because I would imagine most Sexy Marriage Radio listeners understand the concept of vacation sex is different than a lot of regular sex that happens because you're just a lot more relaxed. And so
look at that in our episodes, because there's vacation sex in
there. But one of the thoughts that come to my mind for these foodies, because we recognize this in the sense of there's times where we've gone out, had a good meal, and it's like, if we're going to have sex tonight, it's going to have to take a little bit before we get there, I think. Because I ate too much.
Ate way too much, and any kind of movement is going to be troublesome.
Right, which sometimes can be a challenge. Like, hey, I'm willing to see if we can make that challenge happen. But if we fail, it's really bad.
That challenge just is not a turn on.
No, I understand. Yeah. So the first person I've heard this come from, this idea, is from Dan Savage, who's a love and advice columnist and has a podcast and is well known in a lot of arenas. He's not Christian by any means, but his counsel and his ideas are usually pretty, I can agree with a lot of what he talks about.
Yeah.
But he talks about on date night, his simple premise, have sex first.
Okay. I mean, when you first say that, I'm like, okay. But I kind of get it.
Yeah. I mean, because...
Well, so I back up a little bit, right? Okay. For a lot of people, they go on a date night to connect, and it's kind of like the whole evening is a little bit of foreplay because we're connecting.
All a buildup. It's all part of the culmination, if you will, of sex, maybe.
But again, a date night isn't just about sex. It's about the connection, correct, right? Because I think too often people make too much about sex.
Right.
And here we are, a podcast that's about married
which
sex,
which adds
right?
inherent pressure, particularly for the lower desire.
Yeah, exactly. It does. But I think that ultimately, there's a part of this I really like in that if I'm lower desire, number one, I don't have, it's not that pressure all evening.
Sure.
But it also develops that connection right off the bat.
Right.
Hopefully,
which then,
if it's an enjoyable experience.
Which then begs the question of how do you make it happen if you start the date with that? Because now you got some logistic issues at play. Because think about the normal,
the
circumstance
issues
that I mentioned at the beginning of the show of our kids were gone. We had a lot more freedom of use of our house. If we brought in a babysitter, we don't have that freedom. So date night sex after you come home and kids are in bed, and babysitter is left, it's easier.
Fair, I gotcha.
But when babysitter just shows up, what do you do? So I got some tips. I got some ideas.
Okay, give us some tips on that.
One could be while you are getting ready, even before babysitter shows up, get ready together. Put kids, if they can be occupied by a screen for a while, a game, a movie or something, let them be occupied and you guys are in the room getting ready together. So you already have some banter, some fun, and sex is a part of the equation. You could have sex in the shower if you're showering before you go. So obviously some of this lends itself to more of the quickie variety than the drawn out variety. But that's one element. The other could be, depending on day of week, it could be if you're going out on a Friday, little afternoon delight before kids get home from school. You both get work done still a little bit more in that window, and then you go out that night. I mean, so you got that option. You also have the option of start the morning that way. So
yeah,
it's, you have date night, but you had morning sex.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to say you can't have sex again later. Obviously, this is what you want it to be.
Right. But change it up. Don't just make it, we're going to do all this stuff and the assumption is it's going to have culminate in sex at the end.
Right.
Well, why does it have to be that routine?
Exactly. This is about playing with the script and writing new parts to it.
The part I like about it is because I know there's a lot of people that maybe stress about it. Maybe I'm a low desire person and it is like, oh, well, I know it's coming. Maybe this frees them up to even more fully engage after, because it's like now it's just the conversation, right?
Well, and there's now a lot of couples, ourselves included, that our relationship dynamic is different after we've had sex. We get a glow in the sense that lasts a little while. You know, a couple days sometimes, it kind of depends on the quality of sex, how long it's been in between. You know, there's a lot of factors that play.
It gives us a connection to feel like maybe, you know, we haven't been.
It's a reminder to me of, oh yeah, there you are. There we are. Not just running a household and making sure kids are on top of what they need to be taken care of in bank accounts.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
So there's an element of, yes, it could dramatically change how the date goes because it's a different pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different weight could be lifted. But the other thought that comes to my mind, if you've got kids and babysitters are involved, that could be really great. An idea. I think this is a great idea that I came across. That talked about when the babysitter first shows up, you know, maybe you have them show up a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
So it's late afternoon and the babysitter's going to have them until in the evening, however long you guys are going to be out, whatever it is you're doing. And right when the babysitter shows up, you just say, hey, would you take them to the park for 30 minutes to an hour? And depending on the age of your kids, it could be under the guise of, we don't want to have them see us leave. because sometimes kids can get a little anxious when they watch mom and dad walk out the door, depending on the age.
Okay.
But if you got an older babysitter, it could also just be, hey, we want some time here before we leave, so take the kids, please, and take them to the park for a while.
The babysitter doesn't have to know why.
And then they're out of the house. Yeah, but it's just this element of use some creativity when it comes to the way it all schedules and unfolds.
Yeah.
Because I think of date nights we had where we had somebody come to the house. It was usually a scramble to try to get out the door in time.
It definitely
to take
was.
Advantage as much as we could of the evening.
Well, it's not only that, because you're not only getting yourself ready to go out, but it's just setting everything up. Usually you're getting food ready for them, and I have whatever snacks the babysitter wants.
And the Friday night date has always been a harder one, just because you got work that gets in the way most of the day.
Yeah, you got work, and maybe you got to make reservations, so you have to be at the restaurant at a specific time.
True.
So when you've got that kind of puts this pinch on. It's like you have to rush the sex part. So that's the one thing about having sex first is having a time constraint of when you need to get to the next place can make it not feel as good, right? It's a rush thing rather than I'm into you and connecting with you thing.
Right.
And so I don't want to do it just for doing its sake. I want to have that connection. I think that's why a lot of it happens at the end, right? This is
because it's a build up to it.
It's a build up. It's the foreplay. It's the build up to it.
But the problem with that, and this is where I think this is a great alternative, is there are so many different things that can get in the way in the build up to it that by the time you actually get to act upon it, one person's just not there, which lets the other person down. And, you know, so there's just this component of, okay, and granted, doing it like this with the first, if you have sex first, there's still pressure, right?
Yeah.
It's still pressure on one person more than the other, because the other's going to be more looking forward to it and excited. Ooh, this is the changeup. This is the adventure. Ooh, yeah. You know, they're even more excited maybe.
Yeah.
Because again, the universal truth, within marriage, the pressure to have sex is just existent. It's just there.
Yeah, whether
you're having it or not, whether it's fantastic or not, the pressure is there for both spouses. Can't make that go away.
Right.
That's just part of what comes with it. Unless, I guess you could make it go away if you both have collaboratively agreed we're not having sex anymore, that it's off the table. And so now there's no pressure.
No pressure. We know we're not having
it. But there's an element of recognizing this can just create I love the mental space that this could create, because then the date night becomes reliving, in my mind, I would be reliving some of what we've already done rather than looking forward to what we're going to be doing. And there's a nostalgia that comes with that. That's like, oh, yeah, that was really good. That was, you know, and maybe that gets the fire going, like, let's do it again. If there's the room, we haven't eaten too much, whatever. But there's a freedom there, because I think of when we go out, we like to go have good food.
I love it. And that kind of opens it up. It opens up to the door for that extra chip that maybe I shouldn't have had anyway.
It opens the door for pie, cake. Some of those things would be like, I'm not
Well,
gonna...
now we're making an argument to have sex after just to not overeat.
Hey, lose weight, have sex before and after.
There you go.
But then the last thing that's worth noting, just real quick, is when you're talking about to have the sex before, it's also worth noting this doesn't necessarily just mean intercourse.
True.
Right? Yeah. Because sex is a variety of things. Yeah. When we use the word sex, we're not just talking about penile-vaginal intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the aspects of oral sex on each other, hand jobs on each other, mutual masturbation with each other, steamy makeout sessions with each other. You know, there's a lot of things that all is still sex. Because again, sex in our book does not necessarily mean orgasms have happened.
Although that makes it a lot of fun.
I won't deny that or argue that point, but it's still that element of recognizing, expand the scripts, just like what this idea is.
Yeah.
Of how do we expand and challenge the script of what we've usually done and try changing it up and see what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then let us know how it goes. See if it was a success, particularly from the two foodies. So I know we did go clinical.
In the extended.
In the extended.
A little bit.
Did you stayed awake, though, the whole way through. I appreciate that.
Sure, no problem. No problem. No, it was good. It wasn't all clinical. It was good.
Well, it only seemed appropriate to add a little bit of the clinical when we were talking about just at the beginning having sex first. I mean, if we're going to have sex first, then we can go clinical.
Okay.
Those don't fit
together.
This
is what I live with, people.
Well, sometimes there's a great, don't underestimate the power of clinical sex. All right, well, this has been Sexy Marriage Radio. If we left something undone, what was that look for?
The clinical sex
clinical
part.
Sex?
I'm like, I don't get it, but okay.
It made sense in my head.
All right. So email in feedback.
Feedback at sexymarriageradio.com. 214-702-9565 if we left something undone. We want to hear from you. Add your voice to the conversation and help frame where we go as we continue to go forward. Well, transcripts are available on each of the episode's pages, as well as advertisers, deals, and discount codes. You can find them all at smr.fm. So however you took a little bit of time out to spend with us, thanks, and we'll see you next time.